Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is Faceted Gems. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Happy New Year, everyone. My guest tonight is Mr. Sean Hawkins. Good evening, Sean.
Good evening, Ms. Ward.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a resident of Brooklyn, and that's a Stuyvesant. Actually been a resident for about, I say, 42 years, male, and I have a family member. I have three children, one boy and two daughters,
mm-hmm.
The age range between 20 and 4 years old.
Oh, boy. That's a range.
Yeah.
That's a range.
Yes, it is.
And you are interested. You have had many, many interests, but presently you have evolved into someone who is into dry cleaning business.
Yes.
How did you get involved in that?
Well, I was actually a customer of the business,
mm-hmm.
and several visits to the dry cleaner, me and the owner, we speak a lot.
Uh-huh.
And part of one of our social talks, she mentioned how she wanted to retire. I never thought about even opening the business. another visit that I had when I worked for a corporation, I actually still work for a corporation, and we was actually on lockout. So she said, hey, you know, this might be a good opportunity for you. And in the back of my mind, I thought, hey, it might would be a good opportunity for you, but I never in a million years think that anything I might get into in dry cleaning.
Wow. Wow. What kinds of, I mean, and it's so great that, you know, it was something, someone you had a friendship with, you were using them. I mean, you know, you liked the way they handled their business, obviously. You kept coming back.
Yes.
You kept going back. And the opportunity arose for you to, I guess, learn the business.
Yes. And the great thing about it is that it wasn't just a purchase of business and it's dropped in my lap and she's gone. She said that she'll train me for whatever anything she knows, she'll train me, and then we can exchange the business. So I actually been in the process of learning the business for about, I'd say, 3.5-4 months. And it's been a good experience learning the details in and out of dry cleaning. It's not just simple as drop your items off and they get clean and you give them back to the customer.
Right.
It's more in-depth and detail than that. So I'm learning a lot, when I mean a lot, of the dry cleaning industry itself.
There's more to it than meets the eye. You know, that's usually true of a lot of professions, that it looks one way because they probably, a lot of professionals make things look so simple, you know, so effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really realize what goes on behind the scenes. And do you have are there any skills that you've had from your own experience from growing up and being in the world that have been transferable to this job in, you know, particular?
Yeah, well, basically a lot that I took from my current employer and some past experience is customer service, because I'm a nickel on customer service. I'm big on that as a consumer. When I go into a business, I like to be greeted. When I go to the business, I like to be felt warm and treated with respect. So those are some of the things that when you're on the other side of the counter that you offer the customers and well appreciated. You know, people are willing to tell you the complaints and the grief, long as you're able to explain to them in detail why. A lot of times when you go into a business, you don't understand. You think a person is just being stern as the business owner. But when things are explained to you, it's more easy and open to understand. So that's part of the customer service that I have grown with me and continue to develop.
See, that's very good, because a lot of people think, well, if they don't want to explain it to me, you know, they're just being curt. They're not taking the time. So, you know, I can take my business somewhere else.
Exactly.
But that takes a lot of patience to be able to explain to each and every customer, if need be, on any given day. I mean, some days are better than others, we know, that this is what that situation is or that's what that situation is. And if you have those people skills, then it's a little easier, especially if you have given bad news. But it's really hard for someone who really doesn't have the people skills.
And I believe that's one-on-one in dealing with in retail business. You got to have people skills. You don't have that, I don't think that's a business for anybody who's going to work day-to-day with anybody, because each individual is different. And regardless of what service that you're going to have for the individual, you got to be able to adjust to that personality of that person first before you provide a service.
So what do you do with what's going on with you? How are you able to separate the business from you? Like if you're having a bad day and you're dealing with an irate customer, where do you gum up the strength or get the gumption to just say, well, this is my business and I've got to operate this way? Is that how you do it?
Well, this is something I learned from corporate America, which is one of the skills that I actually bring over to this business. You leave your certain hats at the door.
Right.
So when I walk into that business, my personality hat with I hold within is left at the door. Now I have the business side.
Right.
The business side helps me able to adjust with an irate customer. Explain to the customer, this is why we do it. This is in your best interest. And I want to make sure that you're a happy customer that's going to return. And at the end of the day, your goal is try to please everybody. But everybody, and I'm learning, everybody is not going to be your potential customer.
Right, but every customer is a potential flyer, flag waver for you.
Correct.
And that's someone who's now a potential business card holder and saying, you know what, go here, go to Sean's place, go here, because out of that one customer, you're getting networked into other customers.
Correct.
Yeah. So each customer, it's not that you look at them that way, but you really do, because business, when someone is pleased with a business, they tell people, and when they're not, they'll tell you that too.
I think the negative runs faster than the positive, but we always hope that the positive will run in lead of the negative. So, you know, we always have the potential to try to make sure that we leave a positive aspect on the customer's mind when they leave the business, regardless of the agree or disagree. That's why I think it's the whole point that you understand, that you explain to the customer, okay, I got this garment. The reason why I choose to clean it and choose not to clean it, because this is going to be the results of it. You know,
right,
at the end of the day, you always give them more than one option. So they understand.
Sure.
Now, it's not just a plain, flat, I don't know. Okay, I'm taking this garment in, and I'm going to do this to it, and this might be the result of, or maybe you should not choose to re-clean it again because of the fabrics itself is just worn out. You know, everything ages out. You know, unfortunately, some people don't understand that, but we just
clean
to them.
They don't want to hear that. They want to hear you're a miracle worker and you can
and you clean
it,
make it back
to
new again. Exactly.
You know, the way I remember it, like 40 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of patience, I think, to be. Well, anytime you work directly with the public, there has to, effectively anyway, you have to have a level of patience. And like you said, you leave, you know, you wear two hats. You have one that's the one that you have as the parent, and then the other one you have as the one who's providing a service to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of patience, I think, and a lot of skill. But you also have to be very knowledgeable, because you know what? If the person doesn't like what you or understand what you're saying, they'll go to somebody else who will explain it to them.
Correct.
And that's why you don't want to lose that customer and that potential business, because you want to be the one who's extra special in your care and your service and your delivery. And I know that's appreciated, because there are people who go to the same business, the same establishment, because generationally that's who everybody went to.
Correct.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, not only that you want to be known for the customer service, but the quality of work that you offer.
Right.
You know, and that, to me, that works hand in hand. You know, price is always a big item on people's list. But if you give good customer service and good quality of work and the results are there, people are sometimes willing to work with the price. And they understand what they're paying for, and they see the results of what they're paying for. So at the end of the day, there's a benefit hand in hand.
Well, you know, and then you don't care about the price at that point.
Correct.
Because you know that the quality of the work is going to be such that you don't say this to the establishment, boy, I'm willing to pay whatever he can do to get this. Because I know that when he does it, I'm not going to have any buttons missing, the zipper won't be sideways all of a sudden when I gave it to him straight. It won't be, you know, no stains that weren't there before are suddenly appearing. You know, it's just when people trust you with their item, material, with the job that you're going to do, they come back. And that's what you want. A satisfied customer is also going to bring other customers to you. So is this where you think your niche is? You know, do you really feel gravitated towards this?
Yes. You know, and I know it's a journey. You know, I have my short-term goals, and I'm meeting them, but the long-term goals is to actually have the full takeover of the establishment. So I know this is something that I really would like to provide, because there's a lack of services within my community that we could recycle our dollars. So if I could provide one of these things, I know at least one turn on that recycling spend is going to be within me.
See, that's an excellent point, because you're going to provide something that you know the area needs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a glut of people doing what you're doing. There's not many people doing that. And because of that, and having you run it, I think that that's where there's an absolute need. It's like addressing something that's going to not only service the community, but, you know, There's a mutual benefit to you as well, because you can see the fruits of your labor. You know, it's not going to be wasted anywhere. You might even inspire someone else to take on the business or keep it in the family. Who knows? But at least that opportunity is there. I mean, you know, you have to make an inroad somewhere, right?
I agree. And that's some of the things that I think that as a generation, some things are lacking, that, you know, it should be option one and two, not just one in life for people. You know, family business or corporate America. And maybe they can go to corporate America and bring some of the ideas within family business, not just a one-sided thing. It should be options for both sides. And then when you develop things like that, you develop a stronger net where that, you know, we're not just doing family things. We're doing things, business, family business. You know, you see these businesses, and they said it was open 120 years. You figure, you wonder how. Generation after generation after generation, that's how.
That's right. That's exactly how.
And that's what's in need of my community.
Yeah. It's also what you do. It's very inspirational. I mean, you're not reinventing the wheel, but you're reminding people, you know, this is how everybody started, allegedly, in America.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that believe that you can find that interest and skill, and you don't need a lot of capital necessarily to do it, but you can at least show an interest. You obviously showed this owner a genuine interest and desire to learn this. I mean, they didn't just say, okay, you seem like a nice guy, let me just go. I mean, what is it, do you think, that made the person trust you enough to say, wow, you know, Sean is really the guy I want to take over this?
I guess when you develop a friendship with an individual, they see that you're honest, they see that you're respectful, they see you're dependent, you know, and, you know, when they pass on the torch, they want to make sure it's passed in the right direction. So, you know, as having a conversation with the current owner, you know, we discussed these things, and she said when she took on a business, she was doing it for over 35 years, she learned from her first husband's father, and then her husband, they had the business, and now she had the business. So she'd been doing it for a few generations within herself.
Exactly.
And I guess she wanted to make sure that some of the things that was implemented with her father-in-law continue to be implemented.
Right.
So
right.
I guess she selected me because she felt I was the right person for that.
Well, she knew your spirit. And I mean, you know, she had to go by her gut feeling and her experience. And her, obviously, this is a labor of love. You don't do something as long and not. You know, I mean, come on, especially since she wants to pass on that knowledge to you and she doesn't want it to just disappear with her. So, I mean, I think it's wonderful. That's like the super mentor, someone who is engaging you in a business that she has labored to develop for all these years, for her whole life, really. And I think it's wonderful that you have this opportunity and you can share what this feels like. It's very exciting. I'm excited for you.
I'm excited also.
Yeah, it's an exciting prospect to know that you're doing this and that you're learning firsthand from the expert, you know, the one who had to go through so much to get it to the state that it is. You're listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow. So I'm the host, Diane Murray Warden. My guest this evening is Sean Hawkins, who is interested, will be the owner of dry cleaning business that he is learning from the present owner. And this is such a rare opportunity because you have the actual person who has made this a labor of love showing you the ropes. You don't have to start from scratch. I wonder if you have any projected plans or anything already. Are there ways that you're looking at the business that you can see you want to tweak it a little bit or what?
Yeah, there's things that I actually would love to tweak it with, but me as an individual, I always learn that you need to learn the basics first. And
right.
Once the basics are put down, then you can bring the technology in. And there's some technology I like to bring in, curbside pickup. You know, you could go online and do some, create your own ticket and drop your items off. Either we pick them up and drop them off, or you, vice versa. You could drop them off, but it's a fast lane. You have the regular counter, then you have the fast lane. There's things like that because people in New York City have a busy life. So you got to make sure you're on that same train track that they on to make sure that you're able to keep up with them because they're steady moving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you know, do everything that you did 50 years ago. you know, because technology changes everything. You know, let's talk about, you know, the basic thing we do, the way we communicate with computers now. You know, who would think that the way we would communicate with computers now and the way we do it, you know, even just do the basic emailing. We're not even talking about texting or, you know, all the social networks. We just talk about emailing, you know.
Exactly.
So things like that you need to make sure you're abreast with, you know, and this marketing through technology, you know, there's some of the things that's not in place. So things like that I would like to tweak, but I'm going to take it slow and learn the basics, get all the basics down, and then I'll do my tweaking as I go along and make sure it uplifts the business.
Right. Yeah, you got to take the baby steps before you can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to crawl before you can walk and all that, you know, and you're learning. You've got a great teacher.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You've got a great teacher, and it's good because, you know, you sound like a sponge. You want to take it all in. Every last drop of it, and then take it to that next level, whatever that might look like. And you don't have a time frame on yourself either. It sounds as if you're taking this at a right, nice pace. That's what it sounds like.
Well, this time slots, but there's no push for these time slots, which is so great. You know, she never said within 6 months I want to be at this point, this net. I'm making all the calls when it comes to the timeline, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so ironic that you mentioned that. You know, sometimes I'm there and she leaves because she was working 12 hours or maybe a little longer each day. And I might come early and give her a little relief time. And when I do that, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. She said, Sean, you know, when you pray, you be careful what you pray for. She said, if I leave early, I don't do myself because she's so many years of working the long hours.
That's right.
And now I'll take out some of that time, you know. And like you said, it's her baby, you know.
Right.
Do you want to be so fast to release your baby to anybody, you know?
Mm-mm.
So
Mm-mm.
I'm fortunate I'm the one that she releases to, and I'll make sure that I cherish that egg that she gave me.
Oh, well, that's fated. I mean, the right person in the right place at the right time. That's
I
what
agree.
It means. You
mm-hmm.
know, that's how grace works. And you just, you know, you can't call it up. Sometimes it's just there. And the moment is there, and you both were meant to meet, and at this point and this time, and to have this opportunity that she feels so comfortable with you. And because I know you, I know you're going to succeed because I know this is a wonderful and fascinating venture. And not only that, you're giving to the community. It's not just something you're doing for you. This has never been, you've never been that kind of person anyway. You do for your family. You do for your friends. Now you're doing for your community. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of other ripples and effects because of that.
Mm-hmm.
There will be because it's done in a positive light. It's going to help. It's going to assist. It's going to inspire other people to understand, wow, you know, this is how a business becomes generational. It's a lot of hard work. It's not easy.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's not easy, and a lot of people don't understand the behind-the-scenes work and homework and experience and time and effort that it takes to run a business. And here you have an opportunity to stay in the community and do something that and provide some a service that people need. How would you suggest someone else, maybe not in dry cleaning, but just get interested in a business? I mean, you had to be interested in the idea of entrepreneurship in the first place for her to gravitate to you. What would you suggest to anyone interested in that, in entrepreneurship?
Well, in entrepreneurship, you know, I went to a business library in Manhattan, and I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. I always wanted to own something of my own, and it was going to be a coffee shop. And I spoke to one of the advisors there, and the gentleman said, before you get into anything, do it first, you know, regardless of what it is. You know, if you have the liking of it, do it first and figure, make sure that's you before you decide to put both feet in front. So that was one of the things that triggered when I said, you know what, I get to dry clean business first. She gave me the opportunity to come in and work and see the nuts and bolts of this operation. So anybody who decided they want to be entrepreneurship, make sure you get involved first. Make sure that is for you. Make sure you're willing to put the time in. Make sure you're willing to make the sacrifices, because it's funny that you asked that question. You know, working for corporate America, everybody looks for vacation and holidays. Entrepreneurship, all that's out the window. vacation, right. And holidays, unless
that's
you
right.
have a staff that could cover for you when you decide to go away to another country. But otherwise, no vacation days and no holidays, you are actually
right.
at work. Because that's when
that's
people
right.
go home and you
that's
provide
right.
the service. Those days are out the window.
Those days are out the window. Those
mm-hmm.
days are out the window. Is there anyone that inspired you in particular that you have this drive and this interest?
Well, outside my mother, you know, always giving positive inputs about, you know, if there's sky's the limit, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other people around me that I surround myself with, positive people that's succeeding in life. I say, hey, you know, if John or Mary or Jack could do it, Sean could do it.
Right.
You know, and just right. having good, positive energy around me and surround myself with positive people, that a big flux of influences like that really helped me and pushed me each day.
And, you know, and we're fortunate that we do have positive people because I've had other people on the show that haven't had that.
Hmm.
And that makes it even more difficult when they're going outside of the comfort zone or outside of what someone else thinks should be their comfort zone, you know what I mean? And won't allow them to explore those other aspects and facets of their life, which is why I have the show Faceted Gems, to get people to understand that you can do more than one thing well. And sometimes it's that leap of faith, which can be kind of scary for some people, to just try it and see what happens. And it'll be okay, but, you know, to at least make that attempt, because you don't want to ever think woulda, shoulda, coulda, just because they doubted me, I started doubting myself and this, that, and the other. So, you know, sometimes it's good just to maybe not share all your thoughts with everybody, but to find some kind of solace and comfort in not only doing your homework, but talking to the right people and getting an idea, getting out there and expressing what it is that you'd like to do and like to explore. Do you have any hobbies? In spite of all of this work and everything else that you're doing, you must do something that gives you a little bit of a chance to relax or anything. Is there anything?
You know, when you mention that, maybe I don't consider a hobby or lifestyle. I ride
mm-hmm.
my bike. I
mm-hmm.
run. I'm a horticulturist. I love museums. You know, I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm on a community board. You know, these are the mm-hmm. things that give me a retreat from everything else. But, you know, maybe they are classified under hobbies and give backs, you know, because in life you got to make sure you give back regardless of what status you at.
That's
you know,
right.
And you got to make sure that you take care of home first. So I make sure every day I get the opportunity to ride my bike and run. I take care of
mm-hmm.
me first before I start my day. So them some of the things that I might be classifying under a hobby, but to me it is self, you know, development and growth.
Well, you can't present anything better to anybody else if you don't take care of a little bit of me time too.
I agree.
Okay, so. So and there's nothing selfish in that. It's sort of, you know, self-preservation and replenishing and you know, some people knit, some people, you know, they do all kinds of things. But they have to have that little quiet time, whether they write poetry or do whatever or ride or run or marathon or whatever. But it's important to have that balance, especially when you're intense about one thing, to have something that's sort of, you know, the yin and the yang. And make sure that you find the time to do something for yourself, because that's self-replenishing, and that's part of your growth, and that also helps you rejuvenate your spirit and brings more positive energy to you, you know. But I think it's fabulous that you're embarking on this venture. I think it's wonderful that you've been able to meet up with someone who is tapping in on that strength and that energy and that interest that you have, and that's why I'm so glad, Sean, that you agreed to come on Faceted Gems, because I think that's right up the alley of what it is I'm trying to explain to other people to at least explore. And sometimes you have to hear it from a couple of different voices before you can internalize it, and you just never know which voice it is that makes that, you know, that point draw home. So thank you again, Sean.
It's my pleasure.
So much. I've appreciated having you on the show. This is Faceted Gems under Rainbow Soul with Neil Blake. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.